MTA cast. We're on horsebacks.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, the podcast for magic lovers, magic aficionados, and magic likers, and people that magic likes.
Anyone who's interested in the game of magic, a fan of the game of magic, a player of the game of magic, or a watcher of the game of magic.
Anybody who's ever had a dream about magic, who's had some kind of fever and visualized magic in their fever dream. Anyone who's been on some hard kind of drug and had a massive trip out about magic.
Anyone who woke up one day and suddenly realized that they were a wizard with the ability to cast spells. Anyone who woke up one day and felt a planeswalker spark ignite inside of them and realized that they could move between different planes.
If that happened to you, call us.
We're very interested in having an interview.
We did talk to Nicol Bolas on an old show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah
So
in Soviet Russia.
Yeah. Yep,
Nicol Bolas taps you.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, we're Magic the Amateuring, a podcast about magic for new players returning to the game, and people who like life. I'm Maria, one of your hosts.
I'm Megan, another host.
And I must be Ben, by the process of elimination, your remaining host.
Megan and I learned to play magic thanks to Ben about a year ago, and we're still going strong.
Yeah, we are.
I'm pretty much over it at this point, but here I am.
Oh my God!
I mean, it's only partially funny because it's a lot true.
Everybody, we're gonna get Ben's, we're gonna reignite his passion, don't you worry.
His spark, if you will.
His spark.
That's right. Ben, there's a Jace in there somewhere.
Got a Jace in my hole?
In the hole in your heart.
Yeah.
A J-shaped hole in your heart.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Let's fill it with some blue mana.
We'll find it one day.
You guys, we've got a kick-ass show for you today. We're going to do For the Noobs, teach you some teaches about magic, including Regeneration and Trample. We're going to talk about the absolute worst cards coming out in Born of the Gods.
Yes, so you know exactly which cards not to put into your sealed deck this coming weekend.
Boom.
We're here for you before the pre-release. We've got Standard Corner with Megan. I'm going to do my famous, I call it famous. Sure, it's famous. Cutest card pick from Born of the Gods.
There are lots of people who tweet us about your cutest card.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are lots of people who are very interested. Speaking of tweets,
I
just want to give a quick shout out to all the judges listening.
Yeah.
Because after last episode, there were a bunch of judges who tweeted us and were like, I listen.
Because we must have said, judges don't listen to us.
I think we said something along those lines that we were like.
I like that. We should say something that's not true about our audience every week.
To force interaction.
Just to force them to tweet at us.
Yeah. Like, I bet there's no one that listens. There is definitely no one that listens to this podcast that is left-handed. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
For sure, there's no left-handed people.
For sure.
No way.
If you are left-handed, tweet us at MTAcast.
Good one, Ben. Nice one.
I'm going to put this up top because you can now find us on Stitcher Radio with suggestions from some fans to get on Stitcher. So we're available just about everywhere on the internet. Stitcher, iTunes, mtgcast.com, magicTheAmateuring.com,
TheMeadery.org.
You guys, if you can't find us, you have a problem.
A lot of libraries will have a tape of us that you can check out.
We're on vinyl starting in a few episodes.
Yeah.
If it sounds better. Oh my God.
It's costing us a lot to produce vinyl of every episode we do, but so worth
it's more authentic. Right? It's more authentic.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I'm part of history.
And you're going to want to check out all of our sweet B-sides.
One of the B-sides is just Megan singing a happy little magic song.
That's true. Get us on vinyl for that special bonus. It sounds like it's time for the Noobs.
It sure is, Megan. What are we noobsing about this week?
I don't know. What are we noobsing about this week, Ben?
We're going to talk about confusing combat mechanics.
There's so many.
Thank goodness, because sometimes I get confused during combat.
So, Megan, you were telling me about something that someone told you that sounded like,
It was a wrong hood.
Yeah. So this is the way it worked. There was, say, it was some sort of double striker, I want to say, like a fabled hero.
So you had a double striker?
No, my opponent had a double striker. I had some sort of generic 2-2 and a Boon of Erebos in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, if I block and Boon of Erebos my guy, what dies and what doesn't die?
Okay, so here's the scenario. You're at 4 life. Your opponent attacks with a 2-2 fabled hero.
This is way more dramatic than it was going to be, but sure.
You have only a flesh mad steed.
Yeah.
And a Boon of Erebos in your hand, and but one black mana open, ready, waiting to be tapped and used.
That's right, and I'm not going to miss that 2 life at all, since I'm at 4.
All right, so your question is, what happens?
Yeah.
Does, because there's kind of a few possibilities, ways this could work, right?
Yeah.
Because the double striker is going to deal damage twice.
Yes.
So it's possible that only... that regenerate only saves you one time, and then your guy still dies.
Yeah.
And then also, it's possible it saves it the first time, and the hero dies.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read for you the exact rules text of the regeneration ability.
Sounds
good. I'm going to have you two tell me what you think would happen.
All right. Sounds good.
Here's how it sounds. Regeneration is a replacement effect, which means the next time this permanent would be destroyed this turn, it isn't. Instead, tap it. Remove all damage from it.
Remove that.
And remove it from combat.
And get it out of here.
All right. So, what do you think happens, Maria?
I don't think that it does any more damage.
Which one?
The regenerated dude.
What's the board state after the attack then?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I was not listening.
All right, Megan, what do you think?
I think I now understand.
Yeah.
Both of them live.
Right, and why?
Because first strike damage is dealt.
Mm-hmm.
It would technically kill my flesh mad steed.
Yes.
But instead of dying, the damage is removed from the flesh mad steed, it is tapped and removed from combat.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that when it comes around to dealing regular damage, regular mm-hmm. strike damage, if mm-hmm. you will,
it's not combat.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
combat. So it doesn't get dealt any more damage by that fabled hero.
Right.
And it doesn't deal any damage to that fabled hero.
It's just not even fighting anymore.
Nope, not even fighting. Yep. Not even fighting no more.
Can I tell you why I wasn't listening?
Sure.
Because I was creating a card.
Okay.
Ben, you said wrong hood. And so I made the card wrong hood.
Wrong hood?
All right.
That sounds like a black card.
It is. Okay, so you put it on. It's an aura type hood. And you put it on your opponent's creature. Whatever color that creature was, it's now black. Because it's inside a hood. And it gets -3/-0. Thank you.
Yeah, nice one.
Wow, okay. Nice one. That actually seems like a blue card.
Yeah, it kind of does. But nope. You think, tricky. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how regeneration works. Just keep in mind that when something is regenerated, it gets tapped and it's removed from combat. So if it was in combat, no more combat-y things are going to happen to it.
It cannot be in combat anymore.
If it gets dealt lethal damage from first strike or the first half of double strike, then it's never going to get a chance to deal its damage. So if it has lifelink or something, that's not going to happen. Also, if your double striker had had lifelink, it's only dealing damage once on the first side of its strike. It's not going to deal that second half of damage unless you were also blocking with something else. And why would you do that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Can I just point out that this is a tap effect that could be used for inspired? I don't know if you want to get that deep, but I mean... Just keep that in your brains.
It's pretty deep, but yeah.
That's true. You regenerate something, it'll go and tap it. Yeah.
This is also something to think about if you're ever in a board state where your opponent has a regenerate, has like some blocker that can regenerate, and you're like, what do I do? I can never get past this regenerator.
Uh-huh.
If you can deal lethal damage to it, if you have a lightning strike, or if you have...
Like,
or if you just have a destroy target creature spell or something, you can use that force your opponent to regenerate.
Ooh.
The replacement effect will tap the creature, and Ooh. Guess what? Time to attack. No nice. Blockers.
Nice. That's cool. What I've wondered that sometimes about that effing sentry from the underworld.
Yeah.
That thing is, you know, you see it going late at the draft table sometimes, and I think it's because it's black-white.
Yeah.
And people don't put it together. It's like, yeah, so it's a two, it's a double color card, and maybe no one's black-white or something, but holy crap, man. A 3/3 flying vigilant. It's vigilant, Emmer Effers. Vigilant.
I saw a pack that had that card in it and also Triad of Fates. And it was like fourth or fifth pick. Or
You're like, I think I know what colors I should be.
I was neither of those colors.
Damn it.
It was too late. I mean,
just pull a me and take it. I did that in a draft this past week. I took a fourth pick rare that was not my colors at all.
Pull a me. Nice.
Pull a me.
Pull a all me. Right.
So the other confusing combat mechanic is trample.
Interesting.
Trample. Nobody ever expects trample.
I want to talk about some of the implications of trample.
Tell us about the implications, Ben.
Okay. Let's say that I have a trampler.
You've got it.
He's a 6/6 trampler. It's a monstrous cyclops.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm attacking with this bad boy.
I'm going to eye gouge you. Deal with it.
Okay. If you eye gouge it, eye gouge says target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. If it's a cyclops, destroy it. If you did that, then I would deal no trample damage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just got to get that out there.
Let's just move beyond.
As long as you did that before the combat damage step.
Okay.
Got it.
But let's pretend like you don't have an eye gouge.
Okay.
You don't have an eye gouge.
Okay. I'm always going to have an eye gouge.
Let's say you block with something.
Okay.
And I destroy it after blockers.
Mm-hmm.
How much damage is dealt and to whom and where and why?
Let's clarify, Ben.
Yeah.
I have declared my creature as a blocker,
mm-hmm.
but we have not yet moved to combat damage.
Before combat damage,
yeah.
I cast Voyage's End on your stupid 06 wall.
Oh no, 06 wall?
That seems like a bad move.
Returning it to your hand.
Well, let's say I'm at 6 life.
Oh, okay.
I'm so deadsies because that Cyclops doesn't have to assign any damage to that blocker that isn't there.
Right. The way trampling works is you have to assign lethal damage to all blocking creatures before you can assign to the defending player. If there are 0 blocking creatures, you can assign all of that damage to the defending player.
Oh, wow. Snap.
How about a puzzle?
Yeah.
A puzzle for you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Let's say I'm attacking.
All right.
I'm attacking with my 6/6 trampler.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Voyage's End in hand.
Ooh.
And you, on the board, have... Okay, let's say I haven't attacked yet. On the board, you have something bestowed with the Vigilance guy. So let's say...
The Observant, I'll say it.
Yeah, let's say that's on, like, you know, the Leaf Crown Dryad. All right. So it's 4/4 reach Vigilance.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're at 6 life.
Mm.
I want to kill you, and I don't want to wait. What is the play?
Just... Effing wait for it.
No, I don't want to wait.
Okay, fine. You have to wait until I declare blockers.
And then what?
And then you Voyage's End the Alcaid.
Right.
Yes.
If you do it before...
Then that Leaf Crown Dryad can block all day.
Yeah, whichever one was bestowed will stay on the battlefield and can block.
Aw, snap.
So this is something to watch for. If you have tramplers, this might come up if you have like a green blue deck or a red blue deck, for example. And it's also count. I mean, this same is obviously true if you have other instant speed removal. Megan, do you have a question?
I do have a question, Ben.
Yeah.
So what if I am playing green black and I have a Vulpine Goliath with, say, a Baleful Eidolon bestowed on it? So
death
it's
trample.
A death touch. Trample creature.
Okay. You have a 7/6 trampler.
It's a drampler. Trampler.
Drampler.
I have an 06 wall and you've attacked me.
Yes.
When it comes time to assign damage, you get to choose how much damage to assign to the 06 wall.
One.
You have to assign at least lethal damage, but because your creature has death touch,
whoa.
Lethal damage is any one damage. Even though my creature has six toughness, you can assign one damage to the wall and the rest to the player.
Nice. Oh, snap. Nice.
Now, let's throw a wrench in the monkey works.
Okay.
Let's say...
Somebody throw a fucking wrench in the monkey works again.
All those monkeys, they're just getting too much done.
Let's say I have a card like Hold at Bay, which says prevent the next 7 damage that would be dealt to target creature or player this turn. Uh-huh. You're attacking with a 6/5 trampler, and I block with my 2/2. Before you assign combat damage, before combat damage happens, I cast Hold at Bay targeting my 2/2 to prevent the next 7 damage that would be dealt to target creature.
I think in that case, I have to assign all 6 damage to it.
What do you think, Maria?
I'm going to be honest with you, I was not paying attention.
Maria, there better be another effing create a card at the end of this.
Oh, there will be.
Megan, you are incorrect.
Oh, tell me why.
Well, when checking for lethal damage, trample damage only checks, trample damage does not take into account any replacement effects. And this card sets up a replacement effect because it prevents the next 7 damage. So you just have to assign lethal damage. It doesn't know that lethal damage is going to be prevented.
Oh, it's a little stupid.
Yeah.
It's a little slow. It's like, okay, I only have to assign 2 to it to kill it. Right, guys?
Yeah, but in a good way. Yeah, because if you really want to kill the thing and you have enough, you can just assign 7 plus whatever lethal damage would be and kill it. But if you have trample and you just want to get damage through, then you can assign that damage to the player.
Nice.
Of course, the player could also cast Hold at Bay targeting themselves to prevent damage to themselves.
That probably would have been the better play.
Yeah.
But of course, they're playing Hold at Bay in the first place.
Whoa.
So
easy, Tiger. What if your guy has Death Touch? And let's say it's a 7/6 with Death Touch. And I have Hold at Bay.
You got it.
What happens?
Same thing. I only have to assign 1 to the thing.
Right. But my thing will not die.
Your thing will not die because that Death Touch. That Death Touch damage didn't happen at all.
Okay. Now for the real trickiness.
Do you want to know why I wasn't paying attention?
No.
I made the card stupid in a good way.
Okay.
It's an enchantment you put on your opponent's dude, and it only attacks when it's not profitable to attack.
Wait, Maria, that's just stupid in a bad way.
In a good way for me, because I cast.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Let's say you have a 100-handed one.
Ooh, okay.
This creature is monstrous.
Yep.
So it is a 4/6 with reach, and it can block 99 additional creatures.
Yes.
I attack it with 2 6/5 tramplers, and you block both of them with 1 creature. What happens? Brain explode.
What
is it monstrous?
What is it monstrous to?
It has monstrous of 1, I thought. So it becomes a 4/6.
I think it has monstrous of more. I think it has monstrous of a little bit more.
Everybody is now checking this on their various laptops. Laptop check.
Oh, it does have monstrosity 3. Okay.
Okay.
So it would be not a 3/5 as it normally is, but a 6/8.
Okay, so it's a 6/8. And I have 12 damage.
Yeah.
I think I only have to assign 8 damage to it.
Yes, that is my understanding.
I think
if you're a judge and you listen to us,
hey, judges that are listening,
we are going to have a judge on the podcast in the near future and we will double check this.
Yes.
And often this does not work the way I expect it to on Magic Online.
Yeah.
But that might be a bug on Magic Online.
Hey, which is going to lead to a new game we're going to play, The Way Things Work, or a bug on Magic Online.
But yes, when you assign trample damage, you can take into account damage that has already been assigned. Okay. What I don't necessarily understand is what order you assign damage in. Can you assign damage from creatures in any order?
Yeah.
Or do you have to do it in the order they were ordered in? Because actually, technically, when you block multiple creatures with 100-handed one, You have to order the attackers.
That's wild.
See, the way...
Just like your opponent would order, or you, just like the attacker would order the blockers.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The way, so I was at an event today where this came up, which is where the question came from. And I think after a lot of looking things up, the conclusion that was come to, at least in this instance, was that the person with the attackers got to order attackers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then assign damage based on that.
The person with the attackers got to order their own attackers?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
I mean, doesn't it?
The person who's blocking should be able to order the attackers in the order they want to assign damage to.
Oh, that's fair. But then is the person who's attacking, do they get to order attackers in the order in which they want the attackers to assign damage?
I think so.
Normally we answer questions on this show, but today we ask them.
Also, what happens if you're blocking a Vulpine Goliath and a Sedge Scorpion?
Uh-huh.
Anyone know?
Email us at magicktheamaturing@gmail.com.
If it's a Vulpine Goliath that's being blocked by a Sedge Scorpion?
No. If your hundred-handed one is blocking both my attacking Sedge Scorpion and my attacking Vulpine Goliath,
yeah,
do I deal one lethal damage to you with the Scorpion and trample over for six?
Gosh, I don't know, Ben.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we're going to have a judge on next week. But
oh, awesome. We will ask then. So stay tuned next week, friends. Another question that I had. Let's go back to regeneration.
Go.
Let's say... that I have blocked this Vulpine Goliath again with maybe like a Flesh Mad Steed, and then I regenerate my Flesh Mad Steed. This is a terrible play because that Vulpine Goliath is still not dying. But let's just say that I'm making it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I regenerate. What happens
if you regenerate your Flesh Mad Steed?
Do they just get to hit me for all six because it's been removed from combat?
But you are still blocking it, right?
You're still blocking it. Okay. It will not regenerate until it's taken lethal damage.
Oh, you're right.
This gets kind of confusing because when you say regenerate target creature, it creates this regeneration shield.
Yeah.
And then when that shield is used, that replacement effect happens.
When the bubble is there and then it gets popped.
Right. But sometimes regenerate refers to creating that shield, and sometimes regenerate refers to consuming that shield. You know what I mean?
Gotcha, yes.
So, like, if you say target creature can't be regenerated, you can still, like, pay the cost to set up that shield, but then the shield just won't happen.
This is like, so I had an idiot thing happen on Moto a couple of weeks ago that I remember. There was a favorite hoplite. Mm-hmm. There we go. That 1/2. Mm-hmm. And I was attacking.
Favorite hoplite.
I was attacking with a Gary. And they. Mm-hmm.
Gray merchant of S.
Gravy merchant.
Mm-hmm. My opponent, Boon of Erebost, the favorite hoplite, so it killed my Gary.
Bowl of
Erebost. And I, like.
Are you hungry? God.
I, like a dumbass, was like, oh, it already used its regeneration. I can sip of hemlock it now. You guys,
no.
Gary had in fact, that damage had been prevented as per favorite hoplite's text.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've done that, man.
So, it just, like, I cast Sip of Hemlock, and it taps, and I was like, oh, God.
If only you had waited one turn, the regeneration shield would have been gone.
I know. I felt like such an idiot. But on the bright, I still won that match.
Yeah, that's
there you
good.
Go. There you go.
But it's always good to make a really bad play if you feel like you're definitely going to win anyway.
Yeah.
Because then your opponent feels really bad about themselves.
No.
Can I tell you that this happened to me at the GP when somebody attempted to play Hunt the Hunter on me, but I had no green creatures out? And I'm like, hold up, bro. You can only hunt my green creatures. He's like, oh, okay, well, my guy still gets +2, right?
From Heroic?
No.
Oh,
from the Hunter. And you're like, no.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, I think it does. And then I was just too tired. So I was like, okay, let's keep going.
Maria, you can't let this happen.
Maria!
That player is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Hunt the Huntering
himself.
Oh, boy.
It is illegal.
Anyway, I'm sorry I let you down by letting you make that play.
All right. Well, hopefully you're a little less noobish now that you've listened to that.
Yeah, I hope so.
And keep in mind some of those interactions. Guys, hey, what's the point of having a 1-1 trampler?
Well, Ben, why would you even ask that?
Because there's a new 1-1 trample card.
What? Hey, you guys, I think it's time for a Flavor Text Theater segment.
What?
Called, oh no, you played Charging Badger?
All right.
Speaking of Charging Badger... we're going to do a segment now about the absolute worst cards in Born of the Gods. Yep. And Charging Badger happens to be on that list.
What, but Maria? It's a total bomb.
The trample...
An F-bomb.
The trample will become relevant if, say, you bestow onto our little badger friend.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you bounce their blocker after you've attacked and you want to get in there with that. You want to push through one damage.
With that little badger.
Boom.
Get him, Badger.
I don't care if I'm blocked.
Get him, Badger. Badger, Badger, Badger,
He looks
Badger.
So mean in that picture, but it's accurate to nature. Badgers are sons of bitches.
But anyone, like any random philosopher, could easily kill one.
I'm trying to think of what couldn't kill it. A
what
wall.
Couldn't kill a badger? Yeah.
I mean, voted. No, that badger is charging.
He is so mad.
That wall is not going to get him.
Okay, so let's start with green.
Mm. Yeah.
The absolute worst cards of Born in the Gods.
Yeah, we know that the pre-release is coming up this weekend, and you guys probably want some really solid advice.
So we're here. If you want to know the best cards, we're not the show for you.
No, we are not the show for you.
But we will help you with what not to play.
Please, don't play these cards, guys.
Yeah.
There's something better out there for you.
After the pre-release next weekend, we'll be live at the pre-release in that episode, chatting about what's going on. And we're also going to talk to a judge who's going to give us the lowdown on some of these new rules and interactions.
Oh, nice.
So we'll help you out, you guys.
Cool.
But for now, the worst commons.
All right. Worst commons.
In Born of the Gods.
What do you got for green?
I think we got Charging Badger.
Charging Badger.
What a piece of shit.
Just a lame card. God. Just a card you really want to take 14th.
But you guys, it only costs one green mana. It only costs one mana.
Oh, Megan, we've talked about opportunity cost on this show before.
Say what?
That means what other better card could be in your deck.
Yeah. Or like, could you be somewhere other than playing Magic right now?
Ben? Yeah.
Maybe you could be on a beach.
Ben. Anyways.
Letting the sand slowly wash over your face.
The sand?
What? What beach do you go to?
You're just going to die.
You guys, wait. I see your Charging Badger, and I raise you a Culling Mark.
Oh, wow.
What does Culling Mark do?
Two colorless and a green. Target creature blocks this turn if able.
Oh, that's also pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So can I ask a question?
Yeah. Sure.
Some people will see this and be like, well, why is it any worse than, say, Time Defeat if you set it up correctly?
Culling Mark?
Because you have to set it up.
Yeah.
You have to set it up. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard
exactly.
To set that up correctly.
I mean, if you have multiple, I mean, this only works if you're only attacking with one creature. And then maybe they're just going to take that opportunity. And if they have a couple of creatures, they can just be like, oh, well, if you're going to make this guy block, then I'm going to use, then like I'll use multiple blockers and make sure that your guy dies.
Yeah. I'm actually going to play this on my own Centaur Battlemaster.
That might
okay,
be good.
Okay, there you go, Maria. Nice.
Thank you.
Maria has found a place.
Yeah, there's just a lot of ways for this to go wrong. Your opponent could have bounce. Your opponent could have a trick.
Oh, yeah.
Your opponent could have only creatures that have tap abilities, and if they can just use the tap ability and tap the creature. Maybe your opponent has only tap creatures because they've been beating you down all game.
That's right.
If you're way behind, this card's not going to help you.
This card is not going to do jack shit.
Yeah. No. So we also didn't really like Aspect of Hydra.
Yeah. I mean, we said that card
could be good.
Has potential to be a
this
good
card
trick.
Has potential.
Yeah. There's a lot of double green casting cost creatures out there, which will make this card better.
You know why I don't like it? Because if my opponent leaves up one green and they've got, like, even just three creatures, a Vulpine Goliath and something else, I'm like, giant growth.
Yeah, it is back. Basically a giant growth. That's true.
If you don't block, man, they could just play it and completely blow you out from nowhere. It's like Blood Rush.
Yeah, man.
Anyway.
All right, blue cards. What is the worst blue card?
Oh, snap.
Claim of Erebos.
What?
That's not blue.
Spoiler alert.
What's the worst black card?
Claim of Erebos.
Claim of Erebos. What does that card do?
Yeah, Maria, what does that card do?
What it does is enchant creature. Enchant creature has one and a black tap. Target player loses two life.
What's so bad about that bullshit?
It sounds like a stab wound that you have to pay for and also tap again.
Yes.
I feel like we could do worse.
Really?
I feel like
we could find a worse card. That we could find a worse card? There is, let's see, Weight of the Underworld.
What's that shit?
It's three in a black, enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets -3/-2.
I mean
maybe it's a removal spell. Do you know what, guys? It doesn't happen at instant speed.
That's a lot of mana to pay.
That's a lot of mana for -3/-2. Yeah.
How about Forsaken Drifters?
Ooh, Forsaken Drifters. What do those do?
It's a 4/2 for 4, and when it dies, you put the top 4 cards of your library into the into your graveyard.
Wait.
That just
Where's this card?
It's a
Oh my god, a 4/2 for 4. I mean, that's not the worst thing ever.
I don't want to play that though.
Yeah, but
that's
true. The thing is, like, how many 2 drops are there that kill this
card? A billion.
So many. Yeah. Any random philosopher could kill a Forsaken Drifter.
Yeah, so
Oh, it's
true.
A Forsaken Drifter. Just hit it with a stick.
Also pretty bad.
Yeah.
Fellhide Brawler.
Why?
Fellhide Brawler can't block unless you control another Minotaur.
Question. If I have a Minotaur deck, I'm putting him in it. If I don't have enough Death Bellows.
Maria, that wasn't a question.
Well, I'm saying, in a Minotaur deck, you don't want to be blocking anyway, so who gives a fart sound?
I mean, he's a bear, and he has downside. Why Why does my bear need a downside?
Although, I have to say, like Maria said, in a Minotaur's deck, it's sort of like Flesh Mad Steed. At the very beginning, everyone was like, it's a 2/2 for 2 with downside. Like, F
that
card.
But not people play that.
Plenty of people play a Flesh Mad Steed.
Yeah, I'll play Flesh Mad.
The downside for this is a lot. It's a lot bigger.
That's true. That's true.
And, like, your 2/2 can only attack for so long. And usually, like, by turn 4.
You want to block with that sucker.
Your 2/2s are no longer attacking. And this
maybe he just has a lot of Skull Cleaver friends. Okay, fine. It's a bad card.
All right, we got it.
We give it to you.
Now let's go to blue. I will not say the wrong thing this time.
Oh.
Blue cards. Oh. What is the worst blue card?
Well, let's hate on a cycle a little bit here. Evanescent Intellect, enchantment aura, enchanted creature has one blue tap. Target player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Stupid.
Wow.
Boo.
Pretty bad.
Boo.
It's pretty bad.
I mean,
what
maybe
if you're making an inspired deck?
Or maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this triggers heroic and it sets you up to do inspired stuff, but man, you're spending a card.
And 2 mana. And a tap.
And you're just not getting much.
What if you've got Phoenix, the god of something or other?
Then you don't have to pay one and a blue and tap that creature. You can just tap that creature.
Oh, Phoenix, you silly little goat.
Also pretty bad, Deepwater Hypnotist is a 2/1 that can give stuff -3/-0 when it untaps. When is my 2/1 ever going to have the ability to untap?
You're going to be attacking with that so many times.
So many times. Wait,
no,
how much does it cost?
Intellect on it. That's
all. Mm-hmm. All right. Bad cards.
Although,
wait.
No, never mind.
All right, what we got next? What color are we going? White?
White.
All right. White's got some bad cards. You guys will be on the lookout for, as we mentioned before, Hold at Bay,
pretty bad. It's not the worst. It's definitely better than a fog.
Yeah, it is a little bit better than a fog.
Because
although that's not saying much.
It prevents the next 7 damage, not just 7 combat damage.
Yeah. And it's not to, like, fog is sometimes just to you.
Also pretty lame, Greatheart. If you thought a 4-2 for 4 was bad.
But it's called Greatheart.
It's a 2-4 for 4. It's a pillar field ox. And his art is so cute. And I really like his name is Greatheart. So yeah. I don't want you to be
It's a cold morning. It's a cold morning, and you can tell because his breath's all foggy.
He's not unplayable. You'll once in a while, he'll end up in a deck.
He's just a great heart.
What song is that?
It was one I was making up. Oh, okay. It was kind of like a Western Frontier song.
I want to put a deck of Greathearts and Heliod's Emissaries.
Oh, you guys, here's another, if we're going to keep hating on that cycle.
Yeah.
Euphara's Radiance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Enchanted creature has one white tap, you gain 3 life.
Yep. Well, I think this is my favorite so far.
Okay. Of that cycle?
I think so.
Okay.
Because this one, there's at least the chance that this could keep me alive. You know what
I mean? That's true. Maybe it's what you needed.
Like, I would think I would rather have this one than the black one.
Yeah.
Because the black one just seems like it's so slow. But maybe, like, my opponent just has a Vaporkin and they just need to gain 3 life every turn.
You just need to essentially negate that Vaporkin hitting you. That's fair.
All right, what do we got for red?
Red. We got
Epiphany Storm.
Epiphany Storm.
Oh, God. But you guys, it's so close to Possibility Storm, a card that everyone loves.
It has red, tap, discard a card, draw a card. So this is like that guy who was in M14, that 1-1, who had Intimidate.
What? Everybody loves Academy Raider.
Everybody loves Academy Raider, so why is this worse than
this? This is like Academy Raider, except you don't get to do a damage. You have to spend one red mana. You have to have a creature in addition to this card.
Uh-huh, that creature couldn't tap this turn to attack or something.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So we're down the creature. We're down one red mana from playing this. We're down another red mana from activating the ability. And we're down this card and the card we discard before we draw a card.
Well, when you say it like that.
You guys, I do have to say, there is a rare that for me is an exciting terrible card.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Whims of the Fates.
Love it.
5 in a red. Starting with you, each player separates all permanents he or she controls into 3 piles. Then each player chooses one of his or her piles at random and sacrifices those permanents. Piles can be empty.
Oh, man.
That,
I'm never playing that card. Unless I'm like in a horrible matchup where like I'm going to lose. I'm putting this in.
Anytime I open a booster and that's my rare, I'm gonna flip over the table.
but what if it works out?
Ben,
give us a little math on how likely this card is to work out in your favor.
I would say like 1 in 3.
I like those odds.
All you right. Like I odds? Like those odds. What?
Yeah, this is definitely a Johnny kind of card.
Actually, it's probably more like 2 and 9 because you also not only do you need your opponent's stuff destroyed, you need to avoid having your own stuff destroyed.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Woo.
But, you know, maybe you don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just have 6 lands and you put like 2 of them in each pile and you're set.
Or maybe you just have enough creatures that you need and you're like, I'm going to get rid of all my lands because I don't need land
anymore. Holy shit. You put all your creatures in one pile, all your lands in another pile, and nothing in the third pile.
Yes.
That sounds like such a recipe God. For disaster.
I can't wait till somebody plays this card and I'm in the pre-release and I just look and I'm like,
that's a 2/3 chance that you just screwed yourself.
What is wrong with you?
Okay, guys. Well, those are your cards. Those are your bad, bad cards.
Those are your worst cards in Theros.
Don't real stinkers.
Don't draft them. Don't put them in your sealed. Don't put them in
unless you want to. I mean, unless they're really good in your deck, then go for it.
maybe you're a Johnny who thinks that Whims of the Fates is the card for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, and as we said, make sure to listen next week because we're going to be at the pre-release hanging out and talking to a judge.
Oh, wait, you guys. Somehow we missed Lightning Volley.
Oh, yeah.
3 in a red, instant. Until end of turn, creatures you control gain tap. This creature deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
If you just need to do that last direct damage.
I like that card.
For 3
First
in a
of all,
red?
It's an uncommon.
Yeah, so it must be good, right?
Secondly, I think that card is going to get some guys.
Oh, yeah. I bet it will. Just like when that 4-2 yeah. with devotion comes down and gets you.
This card can finish some people off in a red heroic deck, I think.
All right.
But yeah, you definitely don't want to play this.
This is not
a filler card.
No, there's a strategy that you need to be having.
You got to know.
Yeah.
How it's gonna go, Rudy.
You guys, it's time for the most important part of the show.
What's the most important part of the show?
What's the most important part of the show?
What's the most imported heart of the show?
I don't understand that last question, but I'm going to go with what I said.
What's the most portented fart of the show?
The most portented fart.
You'll find out when it happens, young one.
When I want to know when.
Is Maria's cutest creature from Born of the Gods.
Oh, no. Oh,
my goodness. Only one creature.
Only one can be cutest.
Only one, you guys.
This is a tradition going back to when we started playing in Return to Ravnica.
It is a coveted prize.
First held by Golgari Longlegs.
Oh, so cute.
Also held by Seacoast Drake in M14.
Oh, Seacoast Drake.
Mm-hmm. Also held by...
Adaptive Snapjaw.
Adaptive Snapjaw. Oh, yeah. He was pretty cute.
And Sire of Insanity.
Sire of Insanity. Oh, yeah. He's holding his little human doll.
He was really cute. And then also held by Vulpine Goliath.
Oh, yeah. This
one I'm really excited about because he is actually really cute.
Who is it?
Runners up, first of all.
Okay, yeah, runners up.
Great heart.
Yeah. Okay, great heart, sure.
Second runner up is Chromanticore.
What? Oh, Chromanticore didn't win?
No.
Oh, startled murmurs from the crowd.
They're outraged. What could be better?
The winner is, it's going to be controversial. I understand that. But
cuteness always is.
What can I say? It's how I feel in my heart. The winner is Floodtide Serpent.
What? What color is Floodtide Serpent?
He's blue. He is a 4/4.
Oh, yeah.
And when he attacks, you may return, or I think you have
you
to. You must return an enchantment to your hand.
Mm. Oh, that's right. I remember you told me about this guy. Maria, you have some weird taste.
He is so cute. Look at him. He's like, roar! Bursting out of the water with his little tiny mouth and his weird like fish arms. Oh, man. Look at those weird fish arms. What fish has arms? You do, Floodtide Serpent.
Why am I playing this card?
Because you want to draw cards with your enchantments that let you draw cards when you put them in the play.
Yeah. Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
Eat that off your plate and smoke it.
Well, maybe I'm playing because I want a 4/4 blocker, but...
Yeah, when I first saw him, I was like, why do I want this drawback? But then I thought to myself, perhaps...
Advantage Town.
It is not a drawback.
I'd rather just have Sea Lock Monster. I said it.
How dare you?
Oh, I disagree. I want to go combo.
Wombo combo.
All right.
What do you pick for your cutest card? Send us a tweet at MTAcast. You won't be right, but I will read it.
I have.
You won't be right, but I will read it.
I have a nominee for most constipated art.
Ooh, excellent. What do you got?
It is Mind Reaver.
I said this looked like Samuel L. Jackson.
He's a 2/1. He costs blue. Heroic. Whenever you cast a spell that targets Mind Reaver, exile the top three cards of target player's library. Blue sacrifice Mind Reaver, counter target spell with the same name as a card exiled with Mind Reaver.
Why is this not on our worst cards list?
What? Wait. This is a mono blue deck card that Megan will probably be playing for the next 3 months. So.
Yeah.
Mind Reaver?
This card is awful.
The important part is the art looks like he's just like, argh! He's got his fingers on his temple. He's staring
focusing so hard.
He's staring into the bathroom sink. And he's just really,
pushing it out through his brain.
What, you guys, why would I ever play Mind Reaver?
Because it costs blue.
That does not matter.
You wouldn't play this over a Tidebender Mage?
How would I just play Tidebender Mage?
What if your opponent has no red or green? Wouldn't you rather have this?
Then how about I play Frostburn Weird?
I feel like you'll play this.
Okay.
Ben's
maybe,
pretty confident.
Maybe we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, all right? Standard corner.
It's just a standard corner.
The most normal part of the show.
Hey, guys. I'm just here to chat a little bit about what's going on in Standard.
Let's
Nothing
chat.
Special.
Yeah. So this, just today, I played an SCG IQ at a store nearby.
Intelligence quotient?
A Star City Games invitational qualifier.
An intentional query?
Yes, it was an intentional query.
An insane queen?
It was definitely an insane queen.
An invisible quota? So many of those in daily life. It's so sad.
An igloo that knows quantum physics?
That's an IQP, Maria.
Oh, calm down. Okay.
So anyways, I lost playing for top eight, which was real sad. You guys, out of six rounds, I played three blue-white control decks.
Wow.
It's a lot of blue-white control,
coming
you guys.
Coming in there.
I know. It was really upsetting because the first one I drew, it was the last turn of extra turns, and he was literally at like two life. I had a lot of board control.
Bad beat, bro. That's a bad beat, bro.
It was real
hard.
And I told, the worst part is that I really had to pee between games one and two, so I had to run to the bathroom. No. I had not run to the bathroom.
Never pee.
Never pee. Never pee. Moral of the story.
Never always pee. So this doesn't come up.
So anyways.
Catheter.
If you're playing in the next 2 weeks in any sort of standard events, or even probably the next 3 to 4 weeks, because... There will still be a time period after Born of the Gods is released where the current standard decks are still kind of operating the way that they have been. You just keep in mind that you're probably going to play some blue-white control. And if you're playing mono-blue, a great way is boarding in all those counter spells. I board in 11 cards against them.
Oh my god.
It's a lot of counter spells. It's some drawing cards. If you're playing black, mono-black, it's a lot of hand disruption. You want to get your Thoughtseizes and all your Duresses. Mm. If you're playing black-white, maybe you're going rogue with some Sin Collectors in there, man.
Ooh.
I don't know what you're doing.
Ooh.
Anyways, so be prepared for that.
I have a comment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've seen people...
And then I have an insult.
Okay. I'm going to say my comment first. I've seen a lot of people saying that they do not like the current standard environment, and they think that it's boring. Like, boring to watch... Boring
this
to play.
This is sounding a lot like my insult.
Really? And I just want to know what you thought. Because, I mean, when I watch Standard, I don't get a lot out of it. But because I mostly play Limited. But maybe you still do. Or I don't know.
I am sort of feeling like a lot of the matchups, I know how they play out.
Yeah.
At this point. Like, blue-white, I'm always going to lose game one. And then I have a reasonable chance of winning games two
and
three.
That is so weird to know.
And it's sort of like, but it's bigger than that. It's just sort of like there's always, like the tempo and the pacing of the games and the matchups does often feel very the same. Like every match that I play against a mono black deck pretty much feels the same.
Yeah.
Every matchup against a blue white control deck kind of feels the same. So I can kind of see that. I can kind of see where there's getting to be kind of a lot of repetition right now.
Yeah.
In the current standard meta game.
What's your insult, Ben?
Fuck you.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Nice. Solid
classic
one.
Ben.
Wait, we actually had a Dear Abby that fits into standard corner.
Yes, we did.
So let's do Dear Abby standard corner.
Dear Abby, I have a question for standard corner.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got to find it
what
real
is
quick.
It? I tried to get it to pull up on my computer,
I got it.
But my computer's being like, oh,
Dear Abby, I'm a dedicated red player. Do you stick to one type of constructed deck, or is it better to try different archetypes?
This is actually something that I totally relate to. Recently, I think it kind of depends. I would say that if you're sort of like a deck brewer and you really enjoy sort of like building funky like decks that you want to take to FNM and try out, like, keep doing that. If that's your thing, you just want to try all of the red other color variations and see what
there's
sort
more
of...
than one red deck.
Exactly. There are infinite probably numbers of red decks. Mm. Like, go to town and try it. On the other hand, if you're... I've been playing mono blue for a couple of months now because I felt like I really wanted to get good at standard.
Yeah.
And... in that case, it's really helped to have one deck that I'm just playing with and just practicing getting good at that deck.
You know it inside and out.
Exactly. It's like when you said it's weird that I know the matchups. I feel like at the same time, that's kind of part of getting good at standard.
Is knowing your matchups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's something to be said for trying new stuff. But at the same time, there's something to be said for if you want to be if you want to like get really good at standard, then it's probably good to work on building one of those tier one decks, because it does take time, you guys. I have so many cards that aren't mine right now.
Yep.
And it was sort of, it's like a months long process, and then you have that deck and then you practice it really hard. And like I said, like I lost playing for top eight, but at the same time, I feel like a couple of months ago,
yeah,
I wouldn't have even gotten close. I would have like O2'd and then been done.
Have you heard any rumblings on if Born of the Gods is going to change the standard metagame or if it's going to just be the same?
I would say that
I mean, we've already cracked the Mind Reaver code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black is looking real strong.
Even stronger.
It got some sweet new removal pieces.
Are they going to be banning any cards soon, though?
They are going to be announcing bans tomorrow when this podcast comes out.
Is this standard bans?
It's pretty rare. It's fairly rare for them to ban cards in standard. And I don't think there's anything going on in standard right now that is severe enough
people
to ban.
People are like, ban that fucking pack rat.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, people wish that it would. And like, on the one hand, you can kind of see... You can see an argument for it, but on the other hand, like, that's really extreme.
But listeners, you're in the future. You will already know the answer to this question.
You tell us.
If you Google it.
There are going to be a series of modern bans on Monday to sort of shake things up before the modern PT Valencia, which is coming up.
You think it's going to change things.
Oh, yeah. I do think that one of Blue's strengths is how difficult it is to deal with Thassa.
Yeah.
But there are some cards coming, like the Guild one.
Yeah.
There's the white one that exiles something.
What's the Guild one?
Guild.
I love it's that just, card.
It's G-I-L-D, Guild.
So it's
three and a black, exile target creature.
And then you get a gold
token.
I know what it does, but for the benefit of the listener.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Sorry,
Ben, we just assumed you're a dumb.
And then there's a white card that also exiles a creature. So I think that I think that the blue deck is potentially looking at being more vulnerable.
No.
And not.
No, I want to be invincible.
The same position that it once did.
So when are we going to find out? When is the next big event that'll have new sort of decks added? Do you know?
There is an SCG Open, not this weekend, but the following weekend, where I imagine we're going to see like a couple of new changes. And then. It's kind of interesting because unlike the last Pro Tour, which was standard, so all of these Devotion decks came out of that Pro Tour.
Yeah.
These ones are, this is going to be a modern Pro Tour.
Yeah.
So.
That's weird.
Maybe Mono Blue's good in modern.
Who knows, man? But probably not. Modern is disgusting and scary. Anyways, so I think to answer your question, yes, that. Probably control decks, like blue-white control, is still good. It's still going to be good while you have Sphinx's Revelation and Supreme Verdict.
I'm sorry, those are both banned.
those cards are nuts. I think, but Mono Blue might still be strong because, like I said, I think it actually does have a reasonable matchup against blue-white with all the counter spells that you can run.
Cool.
Who knows, you guys? It's going to be real interesting. I'm real excited to find out. We'll talk about it again on some upcoming issue of Standard Corner.
Dear Abby, we've got some letters from listeners that have Dear Abby questions for us.
If you'd like... shit, all that water downstairs is still boiling.
Oh my god. Megan made us tea.
Hold on, guys.
There's not going to be water left in there. That's
wow. I've destroyed a lot of tea kettles that way, actually.
Have you? What happens to them? How do they get destroyed?
The water boils away.
Yeah.
The kettle burn just burns.
If there's any like non-metal component on the kettle, it will melt.
Listener, let's take this moment.
But you can get like an electric tea kettle that'll just boil, and then like once it starts boiling, it's like, okay, I'm gonna stop now.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It's smart. It's
safe.
Okay. Ben, what color are you gonna play at the pre-release?
I'm probably gonna play blue.
Why is that?
Because it's my favorite. What about you, Maria?
I'm probably going to also play blue.
Why is that?
Because it has the best cards.
Why do you say that? Is it because of your cutest card crush?
That could be, because I do, you know, I want to try them out. But I normally switch colors a lot at pre-releases. I'm not the kind of person that's like, I'm always red, I'm always white, whatever.
No. You got to have a finger in each pie.
That's right. I'm probably going to do blue, but I mean, black is really cool, so I mean, I thought about black, but I think I'm probably just going to do blue. That promo card's pretty boss.
What's the promo card?
Open it up. That guy. Arbiter of the ideal.
Oh, yeah.
Four blue blue flying. When he becomes untapped, oh, you get to just play some shit for free. 4 or 5. Not bad. Megan, was it a disaster?
No, Michael turned it off.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh. Roommates save the day. Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Yeah, if you want to write to us, send us an email. MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
Did we say who that last person was?
It was Ben. Ben Conner.
Wait, this, Ben Counter?
Yeah.
What?
Do we say people's names online?
Yeah, well, we just say their first name.
Aren't they supposed to give us a cute name?
Oh, they are.
They are. That was a Twitter question, though. I forgive them.
Oh, that's right. I understand. Character limit, man.
Dear Abby.
Yes.
My best friend Brent, who loves Magic, your podcast, yes, and Good Times, yes, in that order, is going to be moving to the Twin Cities soon. I want to make sure he has some good new friends who also enjoy Magic. If only there were 3 people who live there who could show him the ropes. What should I do? Friendless in Los Angeles.
Oh, man. Hey, friendless in Los Angeles. Whoa. We're really sorry you're losing your friend. That sucks.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we know some lovely people that Brent could meet.
Yeah, like us.
Like us.
It's just too bad we're all moving to Los Angeles that same weekend.
Oh, dang it. He should check out Meat Hall Games, which is where the 3 of us usually play if we go and play in person. Not to mention that everyone there is just real nice.
Yeah, super nice.
There's you could not only meet 3 people who enjoy Magic. You could meet 30-something people.
30, yeah.
30 people.
33.
And also some 30-somethings.
Yeah, lots of 30-somethings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
They're all real nice. Hi.
We would love to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, friendless in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Next, Dear Abby, I'm a 30-something new player. Speaking of 30-somethings.
Whoa, the universe.
New player coming to Magic after getting into modern board gaming.
Nice.
I like the game, but not the culture around it, so I'm wondering how you deal with the negative aspects. For example, how do you avoid judging fellow players harshly? How do you personally balance enjoying the game with being a well-rounded adult? How can I find players who have similar priorities in terms of maturity, well-rounded personality? Signed, Wary of Wastrels.
Nice.
From Washington. Nice.
From Washington.
Wary of wastrels from Washington.
I gotta say, it's a little harsh.
It is, but on the other hand, it's really funny because between the GP and like just being at this this other event, mm-hmm. they're like, it can be really hard sometimes. I had at least like, I can think of several matches where I sat down across from someone who like refused to smile.
Yeah.
Or say anything to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can get both kinds, just like in anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say it's like a trial and error type situation.
I think it really depends a lot on, you know, where you play. If you're playing in big competitive events, you're going to meet a whole variety of people. I know at the Grand Prix we were just at, I met lots of nice people, and I met a couple real dicks.
Yeah. Because sometimes you do meet a real dick.
I would say I met more nice people than real dicks, though.
That's true.
But yeah, I would try, going to different stores, try to get to know some of the people that run the stores, because they'll kind of set the tone for what kind of people want to hang out there.
That's a great point.
And if you meet people at Friday Night Magic or, Tuesday Night Draft or pre-release, for example, keep in touch with those people and maybe try to set up your own gaming group.
Yeah.
Play Magic, do drafts, do sealed fun stuff, pack wars, standard decks, crazy, wacky stuff with those people you like. That would be my recommendation.
You can do what Ben did and just conscript 2 of your friends into playing Magic.
Or what I usually do, my birthday is coming up, and usually on my birthday, I invite people over and I force them to play Magic with me because it's my birthday.
And they have to do it.
That works.
They have to do it.
They all know how.
And you know what? Every once in a while you get someone who's hooked.
Yeah.
You get someone who'll get hooked.
There you go.
And I also have to say, so today this happened. I sat down across from my first opponent and I smiled at him.
Yeah.
He did not smile back. Mm-hmm. Did not say anything the whole time that we were shuffling and through the first 2 games. And then at the beginning of the 3rd game, I made some sort of joke about something just because I was so tense finally, like,
can I
being across from
ask what the joke was?
I don't, it was something like,
was
it was something
knock,
magic
knock.
Related.
I have it one. Who is there?
What, you have a joke?
Yeah. So I was going to ask if it was, what do you call a woman flying a plane?
What?
A pilot, you fucking misogynist.
All right, everybody, you have to guess. No, it was something, it was just something silly about, like, I don't know, someone had to take a mulligan or something. Like, I just said something that was, like, cheerful and offhand and a little bit silly.
Yeah.
And the guy laughed, and then, like, I was
and then
like,
you
oh.
were, and now you're best friends.
Now
best
you guys
friend.
Are getting married.
No, but then I was like, oh, and then I was like, okay, this is an opening. And I was like, oh, so do you usually game at this store? Because it wasn't a store that I usually go to. He's like, oh, no. And he told me, like, where he was from and asked if I had been to that store.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, this guy initially gave me a really negative feeling.
Vibe.
Yeah, really negative vibe. And sometimes you're going to try and make that joke and that person will still be stone face.
You know, I have to say that asking if they normally play there is a really good open.
Yeah.
Where they're from, how long they've been playing, what they think about the set are all really good questions to kind of connect with your opponent a little bit. And just saying hi before the match. And I mean, you don't have to say good luck. You don't have to say have fun. You can say high five.
Yeah.
And it's really... It'll really break the ice a little bit. And sometimes people who seem, like you said, like they're people you don't want to talk to, turn into people who are really nice.
Exactly. I think this guy was, it turns out, I think he was just actually really nervous.
Yeah.
And so he was just sort of like,
it's a nerve-wracking environment.
He didn't know how to react. And it's like, oh, so maybe sometimes you being like, I don't know about this vibe. Like, maybe that's actually an opportunity to make someone else feel more comfortable because they're actually not feeling great.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
I love it.
Magic, the great equalizer. The universal language.
There was also a kid who was sitting next to us who had the filthiest swear mouth ever. God, this kid had to be like 14 and he kept dropping F-bombs all over the place.
Wow.
I wanted to turn and be like, you're making me uncomfortable.
I would have said, Megan, that was me in a 14-year-old boy outfit.
It did look a lot like him.
If you have any questions for Dear Abby, submit them at magicthamaturing@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or you can submit through our website, magicthamaturing.com. We have a contact form.
Yeah. And I know that we have a couple that we still haven't had a chance to get to.
We'll get to them.
Yep. We can only do so many Dear Abbeys at once, you guys.
Hang tight.
We're Abbeyed out.
Hang in there like that cat on a tree branch.
Hang in there, guys.
That cat must make so much goddamn money on residuals.
Well, everybody, that's Magic the Amateuring for this week.
Yeah.
I hope you've learned what card not to play at the pre-release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some other stuff.
Some other things. What was I going to say? I don't know.
I don't know. Look for us on Stitcher if you want. iTunes.
Yep.
MTGcast. Oh, TheMeatery.org. MagicTheAmateuring.com. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Absolutely we are.
You can find us on Twitter at MTAcast. You can also contact us by email, MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com.
Online, I'm horny_unicorny.
Ben is...
middle schooler.
And I'm ice cream socialist.
Peace out, dudes.
Yeah.
Say hi.
And you can check out our episode next week where we'll be live from the pre-release.
It's a tradition.
It is, and a lovely one in fact.
And we'll be talking to our favorite friend, Judge Rob.
Aw, man. Judge Rob is awesome.
So excited. Until next time.
Later.
Bye, guys.